week now, and we're doing Genesis also. Okay, it says now I'm being recorded. Okay. So I've been studying Genesis in my Bible group too, and I've just had said that the word New Age is really old occult. And from the beginning, when the serpent said to Eve that he challenged, what did God really say, okay, and that you would be like God. So there is that same root of that deception in Genesis that feeds right into all the concepts of New Age. Now, the reason that I was in that New Age movement is because, technically, I was born into it. My father and my mother had only one child, that was me, and my father was a member of what is called the Rosicrucians. Rosicrucianism is one of those mystery religions, as they're known. Mm. It has a lot of Egyptian history that they go into. It's totally metaphysics, it's mysticism. It's very, very deep, and my father was very private about it. We were not allowed to tell our neighbors that my father was practicing this belief system because he said people wouldn't understand and we would probably be kind of like outcasts. So that kept this one little child a little bit isolated, and it was something that we knew that Daddy did, but we didn't talk about it to other people. Now, one of the things that I grew up with my father was that he had practiced the art of healing. Now, I say it as an art. It is not a gift of healing. That is something else that the Lord God would only anoint those that he chooses. The art of healing is something that my father learned. It was something that was taught in Rosicrucianism. It was something that he practiced. And it was something I experienced. I remember a time when I was very little, I put my hand down on something and it was hot and it burned my hand. And of course I was crying. My father came and put his hand over my hand and he was very silent. He was very quiet. He was just breathing quietly. And within seconds, the heat left my hand and I was fine. Mm. And he called that particular system, he called it contact treatment. There was another treatment he called absent treatment. That meant that he could be at a distance, and if he knew about me and sometimes other people that were either sick or in pain, he could do this particular technique and even at a distance. And I went through that. I remember times when my mother would contact my father and say, oh, Alyssa is really in pain right now. Can you help her? And then I would find out within minutes that he'd been practicing this absent treatment and pain would leave my body. Mm. So this is what I grew up with. And again, I don't call it a gift of healing at all. You know, it was something that he learned. So as a child in Michigan, I did go to church with my mother. We went to a Methodist church, but my father would never attend that church. So it was just something I think my mother thought was acceptable to get, you know, a part of something. But I really don't have too many memories of any real teaching at that time. So now, around the age of 9, my parents moved us to Florida. It was to be closer to my grandmother, which had been my mother's mother. And within the very first year that we moved down here to be with my grandmother passed away. Mm. So my mother felt so lost, and she tried to go to a Methodist church, and she told me no one asked about her, no one, you know, showed her any comfort, no one really welcomed her. And I think that made my mother very vulnerable to the first invitation that someone gave her to go to Unity Church. Now, people, you have to know, if you're not familiar with Unity, Unity is not Unitarianism.
Okay.
Unity's name, in fact, there's a very prosperous church in Delray Beach near where we live here. Okay. It has a school. It was called Unity School of Practical Christianity. But as my husband likes to joke, well, it's practically Christianity. It's not very close to Christian teaching at all. But that was when my mother started to going to the Unity Church, and then my father started to go. Why? Because Unity was founded on so many different religions, basically Hinduism.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the founders of Unity, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, back in like 75, and their church started in 1889. It was based on something that Myrtle Fillmore had established because she had had tuberculosis. And after studying different Gnostic teachings, she came up with one statement. I am a child of God, therefore I do not inherit sickness. Mm-hmm. And from that, she started this whole teaching. And for one thing, when she talked about if you just practice repeating positive statements, she called them affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
And we were told to just affirm. If you were sick with a terrible fever, you were supposed to do like a denial. And you would say, I am not sick.
Mm-hmm.
I am healthy. And and the idea was to program your subconscious with enough times of repeating something. Now, that's very similar in Hinduism when they do chanting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it, that's really another place where that came from.
Mm-hmm.
So here I was. My father was active in the church now. He became the assistant to the minister. He gave the announcements, and our minister was always a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Unity churches definitely had many women that were the ministers and the pastors of their church. My mother became the bookkeeper at the church office, and mm-hmm. I was a leader in the youth group. So in my early teenage years, now we're talking about the early 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been learning all of these fascinating teachings, reincarnation, about past lives, and about karma, which is the debt that you have from other lives. So here I was learning about all of this, and that's about the time that America's youth started into the same beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the teenagers and young people in the early 1960s and mid-60s, they were leaving traditional churches and seeking something else.
Mm-hmm.
We know the Beatles, when they went to see the Maharishi, that was a very big influence on my generation,
right.
The boomers. And so I have to always point out that as my peers were starting to explore this, when they found out I had already been involved in this from a young child, they were so impressed. And don't you know that that built pride in me, that I thought I was such an old soul, that I had all this esoteric knowledge
mm-hmm.
way ahead of my peers. You know, pride is one of those things that this kind of occult will definitely instill in a person. And
right.
that's what made Lucifer fall, was his pride to be like God.
Mm-hmm.
So here I was, just right along with the rest of them. They were getting involved, as we know, the history of that particular time period, getting into hallucinogenic drugs, free love, meditation, vegetarianism, all of these Eastern mm-hmm. concepts that the whole generation was just swarming into. So going back to Unity's belief system, can you imagine being a young person in a youth group
mm-hmm.
where the teachers are taking the books from the Fillmores that founded Unity and telling us there's no such thing as the devil, there's no such thing as heaven or hell.
Mm.
It's just states of consciousness, we were told. Now, you tell teenagers there's no such thing as sin or the devil, or heaven or hell, and that gives you complete free rein to do whatever you think. It's, well, as long as they don't hurt anybody, then I'll have bad karma if I do.
Mm.
It's a very destructive thing to be telling young people. And this is what our youth groups were being taught. So as I went through my early 20s, I continued along what I call the smorgasbord of all of these different concepts. And it seemed like the one thing, and I still see this in people that I know that are still in New Age, you're never content. It's a restlessness. You're always thirsty, always looking for something deeper, looking for something higher, something more, running ahead of God. And this is the reason that, as I go through with my story here, that I chose rest from the quest, because God gave me rest for my soul. And when people are seeking, they're always at the latest book. Oh, this is the thing that changed my life. And then, you know, 6 months later, oh no, this is the one, or this is the person we need to follow. And chasing gurus, they don't have to look like Indian sages. It could be the latest teacher that's teaching some conscious thing that you need to learn. So it's always an ongoing thing, never ever satisfied and never learning. It's always going more and more. I do say that right about the time that I was around 28 or 29, I had been a Montessori teacher. Now, the Unity Church that I had gone to had awarded me with a scholarship to become a certified Montessori teacher in preschool. So I did that at a very young age. I was only, like, I guess, 18 or 19. And I was teaching. I was a lead teacher there at Delray Beach. I had my own classes. I also worked in some other Montessori schools, some in Florida, even up in Wisconsin. And I had my own school at one time. Up in Orlando. And, you know, I called it the Aquarian Academy. So that's a New Age concept, the Aquarian conspiracy kind of thing. So I had a school of my own. It was the culmination of my career. And one day I picked up a book that people were talking about. It was called The Aquarian Gospel of Jesus the Christ. Well, I thought, since my school's Aquarian, I need to read this book. Now, that's a book I never recommend to anyone, because it's more about a cosmic Christ. You know, the Bible talks about another Jesus, a different Jesus, a different gospel. And that is something we're to be avoiding. But, you know, God can use anything he chooses. And as I was reading this book, there was a passage that said Jesus had taken our karma. Well, karma is that indebtedness, supposedly, from these past incarnations. And as I've been reading this book about this Jesus, which, according to the author, was just one more master, just like Buddha, just like Krishna, he was the Christ for the Piscean Age, and we were all to look for the next Christ for the Aquarian Age. Okay, so I'm reading about this Jesus. Well, it wasn't the Jesus of the Bible, but, you know, the Holy Spirit, I know, convicted me. Later on, I had found out one of my friends who'd become a Christian, born again, had fervently been praying for me. She had moved away, and I didn't know it, but I know that she was just praying and praying for me. So I'm reading this about Jesus taking our karma, and suddenly I was aware of my own sins, my own personal sins. I wept. I sobbed. I said, Lord, Lord, please forgive me. I just was so broken in my spirit about Jesus taking this karma. Now, I only understood it the way a Hindu would, not the way we normally would think, you know, we're weeping for our sins, we're asking God to forgive us. I believe it was sincere. I believe my heart was in the right place. But it took some time for me to get from there to know the true Jesus and the true gospel. So that part of my life, that was the next step, because having to understand that I had to reevaluate all those beliefs that I had been taught and had been telling others about. How did I, you know, with reincarnation, I couldn't put the two together. And I thought, you know, I used to use the Bible without really reading it much, by just, you know, making fun of Bible thumpers, as I would call them, you know, oh, you're superstitious, you know, the Bible is just something written that it's just all allegory. And so I thought, well, this time, I think I'm going to get into the Bible and see if I can prove that reincarnation and all of these beliefs are there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the Lord opened my eyes, and I began to read the Bible with fresh eyes, and I truly knew the Jesus I wanted to know was the Jesus of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big step in my life, and it was such liberation for me to throw off the shackles of a belief system that was always trying to put answers that we didn't want to look in the Bible. And it was so exhilarating to look at the scripture, and it's like love letters from God. I was so excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now what do I do about my school, my Aquarian Academy?
Right.
I can't keep this with that name anymore. I've had a change in my life. I don't want these little children to be learning meditation anymore. I want them to know about Jesus. And I was very fortunate to have a young woman who had a little child that she had put in our school, my school, and she was a Christian. And so now I had a partner. And I said, okay, we're going to turn this school, a private little school for little children, into a Christian preschool. I renamed the school Agape Academy. Agape is the unconditional sacrificial love of God. And it was beautiful. The little ones were singing songs about Jesus. We had prayer time. It was the last part of my teaching career, because the school lasted 3 years. I was working out of a church that allowed me to use their fellowship hall for the school. And after I got everything in place with the fire codes and everything, the church decided they were going to take it over and do their own school. So, you know, that was kind of a shock, because, you know, I was going to continue there. But, you know, it was a good lesson, Dr. Liberty. It was a good lesson to me, because I felt a little betrayed, you know, after getting everything in order,
right,
that they would take the school away from me. But it taught me early, don't put your trust in man.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the only one who will not disappoint us.
Right.
Because we disappoint one another all the time. In our lives, we say things that we don't mean to someone. Mm-hmm. We hurt feelings. We sin. That's what happens. We sometimes get in situations where we're sorry for what we've done, maybe to hurt someone. And you just have to know it's human nature. And I got over it. I forgave the pastor of the church. I said that was fine. They had their thing they needed to do. And then I said, okay, God, what do you want me to do next? I took a job, but then I was watching on someone on TV. Her name was Constance Cumby. I don't know if any of you have heard of her or remember anything about her, but she was a lawyer in Detroit, still is, I believe she still practices. And she's a Christian, and she started researching this New Age movement. And she was on a Christian TV program, and I was listening. And I thought, oh my, this woman is really talking about the very thing that I came out of.
Mm-hmm.
I got a hold of her publisher, because she mentioned the publisher. I sent a letter, and I said, I, too, have been putting together some thoughts that I might like to have a book about me having been raised in New Age. And they went for it. In fact, you know, writing was something I'd always done. In high school, I took creative writing. I was always writing. And it was, you know, you're always taught that when you want to have a book out, you have to be prepared for rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And I put an envelope, and I put the big thing on the envelope, rejection slips. I expected to get different publishers to say thank you, but no thank you. They took it. They wanted it. So the time was right, I'm sure, because when Constance Cumby's book came out, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, there are people in the church that didn't even know what New Age was, never heard of it. They're like, what is that? You know? And this woman actually, I would say, took the lid off and made people aware. So then, after I got the publisher that said they would do my book, I got in touch with Constance Cumby. We got acquainted by phone, and she wrote the foreword to my book. And I have met her. We had talked in the past and were even in touch on Facebook, and she still does lectures. So she was very instrumental in, I would say, in getting my book out there. But one of the things I like to tell people to warn them is that when someone, let's say, comes out of the occult and they get saved, you know, there is what we call a honeymoon period. You know, you're so in love with Jesus. That's a beautiful, beautiful time for a baby Christian.
Right.
But it's also a dangerous time for a new Christian. Because I look at it like this. It's almost like the mafia. You know, you see these stories where someone's been involved in the mafia, and then they decide they don't want to be a part of that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't like it. They don't want to let you leave. It's just like coming out of those cults where they don't want you to leave.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy throws everything at you to try to get you to give up your new faith and go back. And there are times when your life can be in danger. There are times when everything goes wrong and you think, oh my gosh, if this is what Christianity is, I don't know if I can take it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so important. I have led people to the Lord, and I have prayed fervently afterwards that God would protect them, protect their family members, because the devil is a sore loser.
Right.
And when someone has been in the occult, it's even a harder thing, I believe. Some do get seduced back into it, which is unfortunate. But I also point out, even if in our group here, if no one has really been involved in New Age, probably someone you know is. And one of the things that I learned is that even people that have had relatives that were involved in the occult, like my grandmother, she was raised by an aunt who was a spiritualist medium. They did seances, and this is what my mother was around as a young girl.
Mm.
She marries a man, my father, into Rosicrucianism. So the two of them already had this occult connection in spirituality. And if anyone remembers The Beautiful Side of Evil, that was a book by Johanna Michelson, came out around the same time that mine did. And she said, because even scripture, even into the third and fourth generation, there can be this line of even influences that will affect young people, even if they didn't know someone in their background was in the occult. It can be something that they too find themselves involved in. So that's another thing. And knowing other people, relatives even, that might be involved, being aware of it is an important issue.
Mm-hmm.
And having to tell people that there are certain influences that are infecting the church, a lot of church people don't want to hear that. They, oh no, I'm totally fine. I don't need to know about this thing or that thing. But I do believe that we need to be aware and to be studied, to be approved. Yes, we need to know our scripture, but to also be aware of those dangers out there. So I know there are people that check the fruit. You know, you say, well, we're checking the fruit. You know, how are they growing? Are they getting further along in their walk? Well, I check the root. When I hear of a teaching that doesn't sound right to me, and I think, okay, let me get into scripture. I want to know, where is this teaching coming from? It's not resonating with my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you can find some of these teachings that you hear even on Christian TV, that if you dig deep enough, it goes right back to I think his name is Kenyon. He started a lot of that New Thought teachings. A lot of this New Thought teachings with New Age started in America in the 20s, and a lot of the people that came out of that were teaching these things. What we hear now is things like mindfulness, mind, body, spirit. These are flags that you might have to check to see where is that coming from. It's important, I think, to test the spirits, as our scripture says we need to do that. And I had come in contact with some very, very deceptive moments that I knew were from the enemy. Before I accepted Christ, I used to have something happen to me, which is called an out-of-body experience.
Mm-hmm.
Not the kind that Paul, Apostle Paul, talked about. But it would happen involuntarily. I would be resting, like trying to take a nap, and suddenly I would feel like something was being pulled out of my body, and it would just pull me up. And now, there were people that were practicing this to try to get to do that, and here it was happening to me without me trying.
Mm-hmm.
I never got very far. Like in some, like Shirley MacLaine and some of these people, they say they go into another astral realm and they look down and they can see their body. I don't know. This, whatever this was for me, it just was at first exciting. I thought, oh, you know, where am I going to travel? Where am I going to have this astral journey? But I never went very far. Shortly after I accepted Jesus Christ as the Bible, I was lying down one afternoon, and I started to feel the same sensation. It was like a buzzing in my ears, and I felt this time I didn't want this. I did not feel that it was of the Lord. And I prayed, Lord, if this is not of you, please make it stop, and don't let it happen ever again. And I know that as I was praying this, I heard a voice, we want you to blend. And that was not the voice of my Lord. That was not Jesus or the Holy Spirit, because blending is what cosmic Christianity is about. It's where the people try to hook up their cosmic beliefs with Christianity. And that's Gnosticism, which we know in church history, that is not anything that we want to be doing. And that was a very scary moment for me. Well, that sensation, I just said, Jesus, Jesus, and my hands were all clenched tight, and it went away. And that was, I think, in 1979, and it never happened again. Thank you, Lord.
Man.
So testing the spirits, you know?
That's true.
Praise the Lord. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
So these are some of the experiences that I went through, and a lot of them, too. You really get confronted with evilness, because being taught there's no such thing as the devil, and then if Jesus said, I saw Lucifer fall from heaven like lightning, if Jesus said it, he knows. So people trying to say, oh, well, there is no such thing as the devil. Well, the demon, too. In the New Age teachings, I will bring this up, they talk about ascended masters a lot, and they bring up different names. One of them is Saint Germain. Saint Germain showed up at a Ouija board that I was using, which, that is so dangerous. I mean, people can say there's nothing to it, but two young girls sitting there with a Ouija board, all of a sudden it kept saying, I was supposedly, who was I? Elizabeth in Jerusalem, and my friend was Sarah. Always somebody important, you know, if in your past life, to make you feel even more proud. Finally, I said, well, who is speaking to us through this board? And it said Saint Germain. I hadn't heard of that before until later when I got into another group. They said, oh, that's my spirit guide. Spirit guide. These are fallen angels. These are deceptive demons. And that is such a dangerous place. And even now I saw something, a child's version of a Ouija board is out there for sale. It breaks my heart to think little ones are getting drawn into this. It's so sad. So there's so many things out there, so many things that are so dangerous. But I just wanted to mention too, that since becoming a Christian, I did get into solid church, but it took a while for that, too. One of the churches that I started going to was one of the largest congregations of a church in Central Florida. It was an Assemblies of God, and that's where Benny Hinn, got his start and married the daughter of the pastor of that church that I had mm-hmm. been attending.
Okay.
Now, some of the teachings of charismatic churches, I had started to feel uncomfortable about, and some of them were starting to feel a lot of like what I came out of.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine who actually had been raised in witchcraft, talk about the occult, she had been raised 7 generations of witchcraft, and she got saved, thank the Lord, and we were attending this church, and both of us kept looking at each other thinking, why is some of this making us uncomfortable? Well, when we mentioned our concern, people say, oh, well, you're just gun shy. You know, you had experienced the devil's counterfeit, so you're not trusting this. But as I got more into really discerning, I realized there were some of the teachings that were not lining up. And I have some reservations about Benny Hinn personally. I won't go into that now, but I do feel that there are things that even in our churches that we need to dissect by the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That same friend of mine that had come out of witchcraft, there was a place that's still in existence. It's in Central Florida, called Casadega, which I think means House of the Dead. And it's a spiritualist community. It's a rather spooky-looking place. All the trees with the Spanish moss, and these houses were built in the 20s, when spiritualist mediums were all the rage. And they set up this whole community with their own church, their own bookstore, their own cafeteria. It had been established for a very long time, and as a New Ager, I had gone there, and of course, I wanted a psychic reading and, you know, thought that was all exciting. Well, now I was a Christian, and my friend who came out of Wicca, she and I went back. This time, we wanted to see if we could challenge anybody. We walked through there, and I have to tell you, these psychics, they're like the car salesman. You know, if you go to a car dealership, mm-hmm. the minute you walk in the door, 3 different car salesmen are going to come up and try to get your business. Well, that's how that place used to be. You would walk down the main street near the mm-hmm. library, and the houses where the psychics are, they'd come out on their porch. Hello, would you like a reading? We can do a reading for you. Okay, not this day. I love this. We weren't necessarily wearing a great big cross around our neck. We weren't toting a giant Bible. Mm. We were just 2 Christians armed by God's protection walking through this place. And you know, the psychics, they came to the window and quickly closed the blinds and shut the door. They knew the presence of the Lord was there, and they didn't want anything to do with us. And I'll never forget that. I said, watch this.
Oh, Lord.
The Lord went before us, you know, so the power of God is just so beautiful, so beautiful. So, okay, so when I did get into some charismatic churches, and it's still something I was having to think about, and I had gone to see Rodney Howard Brown. Anybody know about him? The Holy Ghost bartender, okay? He's got this ministry where it's all about this laughter, the holy laughter. So I was still thinking, this can't be of God. I mean, people rolling around growling like animals, and they're saying that this is the Holy Spirit. Okay, so Charlie and I went to see this man. He was somewhere, I think, in Lake Worth, West Palm, in a tent revival. And I said, we are not going to sit very close. We are going to stand farther back, close to the outside of the tent. I said, I don't want anybody laying hands on me for this. So he was doing his preaching, and he had a lot of pastors up front, and he had people saying, you know, come up front and tell us what's happening in your life, preacher so-and-so. And he'd get up there, couldn't even say 2 words, just falling down laughing. No, I never heard the Word of God being preached. And then he said, okay, I want all you pastors in the front row and my team to go out and lay hands so that everyone here can get this from the Holy Ghost. And that's when Charlie and I said, okay, time to leave. So there are things that maybe other people don't agree with me, but I really feel that it's a dangerous time, even mm-hmm. in the church. There have been books written about how in Christianity, things are coming in that we really need to avoid. And it's, again, check the roots. Where do these things come from? Mm-hmm. Are they scriptural? And this is what I feel. It's like being a heresy hunter. It's not a popular position, especially when people don't want to hear anything negative. But there are those of us that have to call it out. And you have to be bold, and you have to be honest. And I will be honest. I said it's almost like a person has been a drug addict, okay, and then recovered. And then you hear someone say, well, I'm just going to try this one drug. It can't be that bad. No, you don't want to do that. Believe me, you do not want to do that. And that's how I am when I hear people saying, well, I think I'll get a psychic reading, or maybe I'll take up yoga. You know, yoga is not just gentle exercise. It is a Hinduistic practice. It is called yoking, and it yokes you with the spirit. And it's so many people are taking up on this now, and it is just not something, because once you get involved in one aspect of something, it only leads you into something deeper, and that's a dangerous path. It really is. So I tend to be very bold, very honest. Last night, as I mentioned to you, Dr. Larry, we had some time with some friends that invited us, and among the people there was a man that started going on about how the Bible's a myth, and angels are aliens, and the organized religion and Christianity is just something that isn't. So I said to him, as I mentioned to you, I said, you know, I had a friend from, he was in the Marines, and, you know, tough guy, Marines. He had a tattoo. It was in a circle, and in that circle, it read, "Where you are, I once was." And if you read it the other way around, "I once was where you are now." And I said, that's what's happening right here. I said, I hear everything you're saying, but everything you're saying, I used to say too. And I said, not now. And you never know. We were just going to have a nice time with friends, and you never know. God will appoint people in our lives. And it is amazing how often I come into contact where God will send me someone who's seeking. And then when I start to warn them really strongly and boldly, and oh, now they don't want anything to do with me. Glory to God, not me, but I have had so many people come back maybe a year or two or three or four or even shorter time. Alyssa, you were right. I've accepted Christ Jesus. I'm reading the Bible. You are so right. I'm so sorry that I was so mean to you. And, you know, that's such a blessing. I know one of my friends from Unity in Delray. His father was a Unity minister. And he was writing books about New Age and all these beliefs. He was in something called A Course in Miracles, which is really, really bad. Automatic writing kind of thing. And I was warning him, praying for him. Got a letter from him. He said, I want you to know that I've become a Christian. I've renounced all of that we were taught in Unity from all those years ago. I mean, that blesses me so much, Dr. Liberty. It's just like any of us who've witnessed to someone and they come back and say, thank you for praying for me. You know, I finally took what you told me and I've become a Christian. So that's always exciting. Well, so now I'm in a good Bible church, and it's more traditional than anything I've been into, but it's a strong church. I love our pastor. You've met him. It's Pastor Landy Mizell at the Lantana Marathon. I'll say it right. Maranatha Bible Church, and it's in Lantana, and we're both very involved in church, and we like it. So that's my testimony. Did you have a question?
Thank you. Thank you. Just coming to share with us as an introduction to our study on New Age. Being in that group for 29 years, then coming out of it with such a great testimony. God is using you wherever he sends you. All right. We have two questions that we want to ask, even though our time, but we need to ask those questions because they are important. Hey, Rob, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, do you have a question? I know you have one question to ask. You told me about that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
All right.
This is great. You brought up a lot of the things that I'm also very concerned with. I live just a little bit north, near Daytona, in a place where there's literally a church. It seems, you know, on every corner for every different denomination or belief. Mm-hmm. And then across the street, you have a yoga studio, an alternative medicine shops, metaphysics, mm-hmm. bookstores, everywhere,
yeah.
Which is very disconcerting. And Casadega that you mentioned is just a couple of miles away. So what do you think is the most dangerous trend in the Christian church regarding the New Age concepts?
Okay. Well, one of the things I would mostly like to point out is that if people are feeling dissatisfied, it's like the itching ears. If they're trying to find something, they feel like they're stuck or they're, you know, in a dry spell and they get attracted to something that they feel, well, that might be a deeper thing I need to know. Things that attract people, like in the health department, let's say, okay, I want to be a vegetarian. I think I need to give up red meat and, you know, maybe I'll just eat fish or something. Now we go to the health food store, and as you know, the health food stores are full of all these pamphlets and all of these things enticing people to get involved in a group, okay? The mind, body, spirit, you've heard that. Mindfulness is another mm-hmm. term. And when people get sidetracked, you have to be careful where you're going with that. And I just say, you know, don't even taste. Don't even taste, because that's where people get sucked into it. And I think the danger is, what I wanted to point out to me, for me rather, is that anything that starts to sound like a formula, a method, anything that says if you do this, 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 then you're going to get the results you want. That's mm-hmm. exactly what the science of mind does. It teaches that if you
yes.
do certain things, then you will get the results you want. I don't go with methods. I don't go with formulas. To me, that's giving you the glory, because then you say, look what I've accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
That's not God.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I got one question to ask.
Okay.
What do you think draws people to the New Age concept? What draws them to that?
I will say, first of all, we must have a heart toward the New Ager, because what they are is a seeker. They have a spiritual void. There is something in them that wants to know truth, and they will be seeking. And just like I was seeking, we need to have a heart for these people, because they're trying to find the truth. And as they are seeking, they find sometimes they don't want to go to the Bible because it seems too simple. They want something that is going to increase their wisdom. And I think that people are drawn to that when, especially like my mother, she was hurt in her feelings of a church where no one really comforted her. And sometimes people get hurt in even a church and then they go somewhere else. And I think we have to be mindful of these people that are seeking, and just show them the love of Christ. Show them the love of Christ.
Hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Let me just ask our people tonight, those of you that have come to the Bible study, if you have a question or something you want to ask, we thank God for Elisa. She's been in this New Age something for many years, and she's out and teaching and winning more souls. So from what she explained, do you, anyone out there, any of the participants, if you have a question to ask her, I have unmuted everyone so you can speak out.
Well, that sounds like a nice, satisfied crowd.
Oh, yeah, okay. If there's no question, I mean, everyone is just... Okay, Lisa, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, God bless you.
Your testimony, and that helped a lot. And if anyone listening to this, we want you to know that if anyone tells you out there that there's nothing like the devil. You just got to walk out. The moment you hear nothing like devils, you just got to walk out. But next week,
and we're going to
go into the new-ish movement deeper and looking at the various things that they do and how they do them. This is just an introduction. I'm glad we thank God for our sister who came out of bed and was able to give us the summary of the whole thing. But we're going to go into deeper beginning next week, Sunday night at 8 o'clock, and we want you to come back. And we thank you for those who have come tonight. Elisa, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. All right.
No good question, night.
That means everything is okay. Now, wait a minute. If you want to ask a question, probably let me just, if you are on the computer, just go to where you have participants. Click there, or you can speak because everyone is unmuted. So if you speak, we hear you. Okay. Thank you. So that no questions, and thank you so much, Rob.
Well, yes.
Rob, are you there?
Hear you.
Yeah. Will you please close our in prayer? Our time is gone.
Yes. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this message today, Father, for Sister Elisa sharing her journey, Father. And I know it touched me, and I greatly appreciate what she had to share. And I'm surrounded with so many folks as well that are seeking and caught up in this. And it's going to be a better understanding of how to minister to them and to touch them. Lord, thank you so much for this time, for teaching us, speaking to us, and just helping us to draw close to you. I just give you thanks. May your name be magnified and in praise. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you,
Elisa, thank you again. And next week, we will continue our study, New Age. Come back. Invite someone. Thank you so much.